Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, and you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Hey, hey, welcome in. It's a new intro, but we kept the applause. Have to build ourselves up, get going. It's Monday. It's 10 a.m. Pacific time, and we are in the net live. You have joined us, we hope, from all over the United States and all over the world. We are live from the Redondo Beach home court. We've had a couple of great shows over the last couple of weeks. Hope you've been tuning in. We had Mike Seeley last week. Week before, we had Kerry Walsh in here also that week. Very good show. It's lots of fun, lots of good people in the sport of volleyball. If you want to participate in the show at any time today, 347-677-1525 is the number. Get in the net live now. We'll do our best to get to you as we get through our discussions. A little preview of the program today. We're going to be joined by our newest net live crew member, Jane Collymore, national team player and also music extraordinaire. She's going to be joining us talking about her music and how it's going to be incorporated here into our upcoming website that Dan will finish probably sometime in January of next year. We have a new AVP commissioner, Mike Dodd, just named AVP commissioner. He's going to come on and talk about what exactly a commissioner does. That's been question number one from everybody. What does a commissioner do anyway?
Good question.
Sign the ball, obviously. But other than that, Jared Elliott, head coach from Texas. He was an outspoken opponent of the sand volleyball adoption and story we've been following. We wanted to bring him on and get his thoughts as to why he didn't think sand volleyball was a good idea. Questionable calls, as usual, and we have a cooperative trivia slam down. We'll touch on a few other headlines from around the world, and we do have back in the house, you heard him just a second ago, Geeter.
Hi.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Oh, man, we love
it. I just like coming here to your house.
Yeah, it's great to have you over. You know,
I have a little house envy, too, when I come here. It's just so nice. Saw the AstroTurf in the back. And
you know, it's a life. I'm living it. It's working. It's working. And we like the fact you've taken the mic from Dan. We talk about that frequently. But
it's amazing that you can't hear him.
Yeah.
It's so great that he's over on the couch.
Just... Well, it's good. The guy hates indoor. He hates any other sport we ever touch on. He's just a beach volleyball guy, which I suppose you could admire the fact that he loves his sport, but he hates everybody else.
Doesn't care about anything.
No.
Except beach volleyball.
Nothing.
But you do care about the Olympics.
Okay, so we've got some other interests, but not many. So anyway, Chris here, and we do have Reed still from Siberia. Reed, are you hanging in there with the technology?
What's happening? I'm here.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah, we'll see how long this 3G technology works out, but I'm minute to minute. You know, some people are day to day, week to week. I'm minute to minute here on the tech side.
It's mysterious that you disappear right before the trivia starts. I'm a little suspect.
Which I want to know it.
Yeah, that's true. Geeter, you are one of those. I'm about to fix that today. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the weekend, because I want to talk about my weekend. Went out riding yesterday.
You're really back into it.
Oh, I'm right back out there.
Pictures, man. On your computer.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Dungey right there. That's my background.
Are your kids going to ride?
They did ride. Yeah, yesterday, Reese came out and rode. He's got a little 80. It's actually a 50 up converted to an 80.
Start him out young. Hey, Dan doesn't care. By the way, he totally dozes off. You're right. The minute you start talking about riding, he's looking out the window.
Oh, yeah. I've even related it back where I've a big motocross guy is sponsored by Hurley, who also sponsors Reed. Dan asleep the whole time. Doesn't care. Doesn't care.
I hear Hurley in my ears.
But I got out riding, and I now have a professional motocross coach, a guy named Robbie Skaggs, former professional rider.
What does he teach you? Is it like getting volleyball private lessons, like learning how to attack deep corner?
Body position. How to use the throttle. There's an unbelievable amount of things to think about. I think it was on the Olympics. Somebody put up there on NBC or something recently, because I've heard it from several people. They were talking about the most demanding cardiovascular sports. Motocross is number two.
What was number one?
I don't know. I don't care.
Motocross number two?
Number two. Motocross.
Those bikes are freaking heavy, right?
Well, they're heavy, but you're also doing so many different things. You're shifting, you're braking, you're moving your body forward, backward, you're getting your arms out. It's unbelievably demanding. When you ride the way you need to ride, it's crazy.
I've never done it. It's on the bucket list, but I've never done it.
Yeah, look at Dan over here thinks it's just easy. We'll put him out on the track. He'll break his collar.
What does he ride around in those things you rent, the mall cop?
Segway.
The Segway.
And he's worried about motocross. This guy rides a 200-pound scooter on wheels that are no wider than my mountain bike wheels, you know, up and down PCH with cars and trucks and stuff. He's the crazy one. He's crazy. But yeah, get out riding.
What's your first move, Kevin, that you're going to go for? I mean, like, what's the first trick you're going to
do? By the way, he said your first move. Like, yeah. You've never done one. What's going to be your first move?
Yeah, I'm going to go backflip. That'll be my very first attempt and probably my last.
Reed, have you ever done?
I have done it, actually. Yeah, it's good times. Actually, the last time I was on one, I was just hit puberty, so I was probably around 6 foot, and I was on a 50. Should have never been on it. I definitely outweighed the thing, and I crashed and busted open my elbow. But
nice.
But yeah, So I'm already. I got a scar. So we'll see if once I retire from volleyball, it's go time with. Dangerous activities. I'm going to tell you that right now.
But listen, we have videos upcoming with the new site. It's going to be a big feature. We'll do a Barnett player video MX style. We'll have me out at the MX track. Since I can't do a volleyball video, we're going to do an MX video.
We'll have a video of Dan and I just like, I'll set him any spikes and spiking during the day on a Saturday.
We will definitely have to do videos for each of ourselves just to see if we still have it. We can get you up at the ridge.
Setting up a grass court.
That will be awesome.
I love the word spike.
I did have a rather weird event that I wanted to touch on. See if this has happened to any of you guys. On Friday, Thursday, got a massage. Haven't had a massage in a long time.
I'm not going to go there.
Had him do a deep tissue massage down here at Massage Envy in Hermosa Beach, right? Thursday afternoon, I had a fever spike. All of a sudden, I went from fine to a fever of 102 in about a half hour around 5 o'clock. I went and got in bed for about 4 hours with a horrible fever, chills, couldn't do anything. And then it kind of faded through the evening, and then by the next morning, I was a little better, and by the afternoon, I was fine. I thought, what on earth has happened to me?
Did your stomach hurt?
No.
I had a little virus Thursday night.
Did you?
Lasted about literally 13 hours.
No stomach problems, eating fine. But then I looked up on the internet about deep tissue massage. Lots of times you get a deep tissue massage, it may spike your fever. And if you're not feeling well, I was recovering from a cold already, it can cause you to have horrible reactions.
Did you feel fine, though, you said the next day, like back to 100%?
By the end of the day, yes. By the end of the day.
So was it worth it to be miserable for those 4 to 5 hours?
I'm going to find out again this afternoon as I get another massage.
You're going to have another one today?
Oh, yeah. I'm living the life, dude.
This guy's life is a joke, Reed.
I'll tell you what, one more.
Mr. Mom, he's making it happen. Oh, you know, he's...
There's... Walk over here, the guy's got a beer in his hand.
It's 8:30 in the morning. I do have another problem I wanted to share with you guys. I have an issue. It's been creeping up on me, and I just wanted to share with you, and maybe group therapy can help me. But I like this song. This is my big issue. This isn't Danny Kind of, baby. Go on. Wait for it, Dan.
I hopped up the plane at LAX with a dream in my cardigan.
It's a problem.
I'm Miley Cyrus.
Oh, man. I can totally see you rocking this on PCH and your Prius. Just like singing along.
Oh my God, if you could only see him now. That was amazing. The close eyes, like bobbing back and forth. Reed, I'm dead serious. Dan's looking at him as well. We're in shock.
Oh, are you kidding me? Miley rocks, dude. That's all.
Very deep voice she has when she speaks.
Does she? Yeah, kind of scratchy, like
not
that
I watch
cigarettes,
Hannah Montana, or anything like that. Or movies. I'm suspicious. Let's just move on.
Yeah. All right, Reed, give us the Russian update.
I don't know. I don't know if I can follow that right now. Jeez. Miley Cyrus.
Do you need some more of it? Because you know, anytime you need, I've got it for you, baby, right here.
Yeah, I can just hear Dan hitting those harmonies in her chorus. Russian update, you know, we lost. We lost 102-104. We lost in five. We were up 2-1. We were in Sirgut, and it's just not a great place. And it was just really frustrating. And I was kind of carrying some stuff all week and really couldn't let it go. and just kind of carrying some negativity. My wife's been gone for about 6 weeks. She'll get back Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, it just reminds me how difficult it can be over here with really no outlet. There's no place to just go and forget. And usually if you're doing something like that, you got a headache the next morning, and it doesn't really help in the long run. But yeah, we luckily there were some other mix-ups in the league. The teams that we're competing with, jockeying for positions, also lost in close games, and so we're still right there in the mix. But yeah, kind of a downer weekend. But you know, I guess just trying to bounce back.
Let's pump this kid up a little bit.
Yeah,
Barney sounds down.
I'll tell you what, you get stuck overseas without your wife and
in Siberia.
Oh boy, what am I gonna do?
Lose 104-102.
Yeah.
And, you know, Reed and I were talking off air earlier. It's not like he can just grab his board and go surf for a little bit or go golf or
no. Go
hang out with his buddies, have a barbecue.
You go make a snow angel.
What do you go do?
That's the big challenge about playing overseas is you're completely out of your element. And even the European guys, if you're playing in Italy and let's say you have Belgian players on your team, those guys even don't get it. Because
yeah.
When you get a couple of days off, all these guys do is fly home. You go home for a couple of days, it's an hour flight, no problem, come back. You know me, I'm stuck here, guys. I got 2 days off. We may as well practice because I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, it goes a long way, just having an outlet, having some place to just kind of unwind and not think about volleyball. It gets a little bit overboard. You know, Dave and I, Dave's longtime girlfriend is out of town as well, and so it's like at dinner, you kind of run out of topics. And it always circles back to volley and frustration and,
Sidey.
You know, another round over here, please. You know, type stuff, and
you can go get electrocuted like Seeley and Barney did a few years back.
You guys need to start racing snowmobiles. You might be able to do that out there, Russian style.
Yes, actually, that Dave got to go on one of those last week and actually crashed it in the river.
Oh.
But we need to get Dave on. He's a big fan of the show. We need to have him on. Tonight's not a good night. I tried to. He actually helped me coming up with some of the questions that you'll see at the end here of the show. But big fan of the show, and we definitely got to get him on. Sleeveless, of course.
Good stuff. We got Dan Madden here, but we took away his microphone. It says here he made a slosh pipe. What is a slosh pipe, Dan?
It's a 10-foot long pipe.
Louder.
10-foot long PVC pipe.
For a tsunami.
2/3 full of water. Walk around with it.
What are you, dude?
Really?
That's a
great radio right there.
Yeah. We got to get Dan a microphone again, just so he can explain.
He goes away
the
on. He goes around segways. He builds
slosh
pipes. Slosh pipe.
Is this a workout device, Dan? That you're filling a 10-foot PVC pipe
and
with?
By
water?
The way, he was doing push-ups in here earlier.
He was.
You and I were having a conversation before we went on, and he literally was doing what he calls the perfect push-up.
Yeah, he's pumped up for the show. I've got perfect push-ups in here. Met the guy who owns that company on the way back from Beijing. He sent me a pair. They're kind of fun. But, you know, Dan now, shoulders completely worn out, chest puffed out like a rooster.
And he totally looked at his try when he was done. I saw him.
Checking himself out. He's like, where's the mirror? You guys have mirrors up here? Huh?
I'm
going to
show you guys the slot.
Okay, we'll check it out another time.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll put it on the show.
If you can just hold over your head, it weighs 40 pounds.
We'll put it on the show. Geeter, what about you? What do you do with your weekends anyway?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a tournament on Sunday yesterday in San Diego. Left at 4:45 a.m. And I got back at 10:30 p.m. We made the finals.
Oh.
Made the finals, which I was happy about because I'm telling you, about 10:30 a.m., we lost our first round game, first round of pool. We were in a third game. You know, it's two out of three sets. We're in a third set in match number two. And my partner, Tim Jensen, who's a coach at Pepperdine, we look at each other and we're like, we're in trouble. It's going to be a long, long day. And somehow we bounced back and ended up going all the way to the finals, won five in a row. Lost to Laguna Beach, coached by Mike Solar and Wiz Bachman,
okay.
Who's married
Hugh
to McCutcheon. Hugh was there. Close one, 28-26, 25-21. And it felt good that the girls were playing well again. We had a couple bad weeks, chemistry a little bit off, and here I am talking about club girls volleyball.
Did
it's amazing.
Do you want to file a complaint that Hugh McCutcheon is actually coaching the other team?
Hugh was in the background doing weird things, like stealing my serving signals and stuff like that. We did talk about this show, though.
Nice.
We gave you guys some props.
All right, so Tim Jensen, you said, is your partner coaching. We understand he turned down the Loyola Marymount job. That's the rumor about town. Is that true?
He did. And you know
why?
Who else did? Mike Seeley. You know, I think Tim, to be honest with you, I don't want to speak for him. But I will. I think the dream job is where he's at right now.
Okay.
And I think his partnership with Nina, and he's been there 10 years now, loves that school. His wife and his family live in Ventura. They love their life there. They would definitely move, I think. And I think they like their lifestyle, their friends. And it's not a guarantee that he's going to get that job when Nina leaves, but I think it's his dream. And I think he thinks if he stays there, he has a better shot at it, maybe. And I heard the financial package, at least if you talk to some guys that were offered that job, maybe not what they were hoping.
Not
from
on
LMU.
Par with what their program ought to be.
And I don't want to say that that's, you know, true, but from what I kind of hear, you know, there's a lot that goes into those jobs. How much money can you make off camps?
What
are the resources? And talking to Bill Husak, the AD at LMU, I think they're going in the right direction, and I think they got a guy that's back in volleyball.
Oh, Tom Black is great. Tom Black is a great guy. He's had good results wherever he's been. He was at Pierce, and then he was at UCSD. He's done a nice job with a lot of different programs.
You know, with elementary and high school, Tom Black, he was 2 years behind me forever. For 10 years, I was with that kid.
He was one of the best players UCSD had ever had.
No question about it.
At that time. He made that
Maybe
team actually competitive, yeah. Yeah, they've been pretty good this year. They beat Pep once already, which was nice.
I just got a text from Eric Sullivan saying he called in, but no one answered.
Oh, well, tell him to call back.
Eric, call back.
Yeah, I think we saw him on Skype, 1-1-1-1-1-1, but we can't just jump right to him.
I
mean, we killed him last week. Eric,
we're
doing a show here,
buddy.
Can you
hold on for a second, guy?
We're doing a show.
Talking about motocross.
We know he's on, because here he is right here. Let's see if we can.
Patience,
bud. See if we can pull him up.
Hello?
Eric Sullivan.
Look at how salty he sounds.
Oh, wait, I cut him off again. Oh, yeah, he's still there. Hold on a second. Eric Sullivan, assistant coach, Nebraska, upset last week at his characterization of almost costing the U.S. a gold medal. What else do we blame him for? Oh, for hustling fools in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, he hustled
guys
at Colorado Springs, which I love, and he made Reed tougher. So maybe he won the gold for the U.S. We're not quite sure. Esau?
Defend yourself.
Hey, so, yeah, Reed was just a young pup, and so Celia and I had to kind of show him the way a little bit, and, you know, I think at the end of the day, we toughened him up. I mean, look at him now. He's got a gold medal hanging, and he's in Russia. I mean, how much can you be than that?
Well, so you're actually responsible for his success, not the potential failure.
That's how I like to look at it.
Reed, just how did Eric treat you when you were a youngster?
You know, I just remember that day in the pyramid, and you know, now that I look back, I'm a little older. I definitely could see the intensity at which they were competing for a spot on the national team, and I'm just trying to get on the university team. It was, you know, I blame it all on Doug Beal. Can't we just blame everything on Doug Beal?
Hey, don't backpedal. I want to hear you. Get
Come
after
on,
Sullivan.
Well, you've been wanting to yell at him for years.
We need some ratings here, for crying out loud. Pretty, quit trying to smooth everything over.
Yeah, but you know, Sully's got a way. You know, we called him Oscar on the team. he can get a little grouchy, but yeah, no, he and Sully just kind of wanted me to maintain my space in the left corner of the court and just try not to touch the ball. If I can, if we can do that, then maybe we had a chance to win.
Oh, you saw that as beautiful, buddy.
So here it is, as a college coach now, and with a little more knowledge in the college and the coaching side of things, I knew that left back corner was somewhere that we had to defend. And so by putting Reed in there, we had it covered.
I love it. You're all about making players feel valuable no matter how badly you're trying to hide them. I like that a lot. Now, interesting to me that both stories, which you were getting grief for, involved Mike Seeley. So tell us about hustling people at the bar with the volleyball court.
Yeah, I don't remember too much of that, but I'm sure it happened a little bit. And, you know, we're young guys on the national team, not making too much. I had a wife to think about, a family, and, you know, we had to make ends meet.
Would you guys show up like Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes and White Man Can't Jump and just kind of look like bums?
Pretty close. I think we had, like, jeans rolled up kind of thing.
So you're in Omaha and or Lincoln?
Whoa, Lincoln, bud.
Lincoln. Yeah, Lincoln and Reed's in Siberia. Is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah, they have Runza in Lincoln. They have Runza Burger. That's what they have.
Barnett, that's a great call. Runza. Awesome Nebraskan fare.
You know, one of my club players is going to go play for Esau.
Really? Which one?
Yes, Laura Dykstra.
Oh, very nice.
Libero, fantastic. And she's going to learn from one of the best.
So while we have you on the line here, give us a little bit of a preview of what's going on in the spring for your team and how you're looking for next year.
We actually, you know, we've got a great schedule this spring. We're just getting, we got one more week of individuals, and then we get into our team stuff, and then we've got four dates. We're going to have, do a clinic on one of our dates and just kind of a practice inter-squad deal, and then we're going to go to Arizona State. We're going to host Illinois, who finished in the top 10 and didn't really graduate anybody at home, which will probably sell out. And then we're going to go to Minnesota and play them, and they went to the Final Four and also didn't graduate too many. So we've got a real tough schedule. We've got almost all the girls that we're going to have in the gym right now. So we've got a big squad for the spring, and then we're also going to China in May.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've got things going in the right direction, and we're pretty excited about what we can do this year.
That's great that players are getting some international exposure. I always like to hear the college teams getting out of the United States and seeing the broader world of volleyball. Esau, real quick, we got to go, but one quick last question. Did you apply for the UCLA job?
I talked to some people about the UCLA job, and I don't know that I can formally say I applied for it, but I definitely talked to some people about it.
Okay.
That's good enough.
That's a coy answer right
there.
That's
good enough
for us. Political answer. I like it.
Hey, Eric, before we let you go, I'm curious, weigh in on the sand volleyball issue. Where do you guys fall being in Nebraska on the induction of sand volleyball?
Can I take the next 45 minutes?
No, you can't.
So here's my 30-second answer. You know, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great opportunity for the sport to grow. I grew up in San Diego, and so I love that opportunity for the sport to grow in that direction. Obviously, at Nebraska, it creates some challenges for us. We do have an indoor sand court, and so it's something that we already train with our girls and something that we see a lot of value in. But being, you know, landlocked definitely presents some challenges in the recruiting aspect of it. It's something that we want to promote and we want to participate in, but also the financial situation of universities across the country is tough right now. So I understand that, you know, a lot of athletic directors are kind of hesitating in adding a new sport. But, you know, for the most part, we love it. We'd love to be participating in it.
Great. Eric Sullivan, assistant coach at Nebraska. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling,
Esau. Clear in the air. We appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I appreciate you letting me get on and defend myself.
Anytime. All right. See you, Eric.
Have a good one.
All right, Eric Sullivan. Boy, we've got people out there listening.
Yeah, just
They're
to picture
in.
Him pointing to the left corner. Someone read you. Stay there.
Hey, Reed Pretty, we have Jane Collymore coming on. Do you know her phone number?
Has she called in yet?
The area code would be fine. This could be her. We're going to check. 206, you're on the air. You've been up here before we were even on the show.
Hi, yeah, this is me.
Hey, Jane, I was hoping it was you. Oh, my goodness.
You've been listening the whole time, huh, Jane?
Yeah. No, you told me to call in at 10, so I thought maybe I'm early, and I just listened to your interview with Eric Sullivan. It's fun.
Excellent.
I liked it.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the show, Jane Collymore, current national team member, former University of Florida star, and music talent, which I didn't know anything about until I wandered in the gym with you down there in Anaheim recently.
Yeah, it's been really fun. It's just kind of a nice counterbalance to athletics. I heard you guys mentioning it's nice to have something outside of the volleyball world, and that's just kind of my thing. That's been fun.
When did you start getting into it? Was it part of your personality early on or something you picked up in college?
Let's see. I started writing songs, I guess, in college. Just kind of picked up guitar my sophomore year, but kind of grew up playing classical piano. Have always done kind of sports and music quietly on my own, so it's always kind of been there.
Awesome. Well, we know you're recovering from your second hip surgery now, the beginning of February, as I recall. And how's that going? How's that process looking for you? When will you be returning to action?
I hope to return back to the national team this July. The rehab process, I probably won't be able to jump for the next 4 months. And then once I'm able to, I'm going to start slowly getting back training with the University of Washington up here and hopefully on the beach in Alki. So, just taking it one day at a time, but expected to make a 100% recovery and look forward to getting back to my team.
Jane, it's Geeter. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. I actually had a question. You just hit on something. I used to MC a tournament up at Seaside, Oregon, and they always had a huge following from Alki Beach. I'd never been there, but how is the beach volleyball? And what's that beach like?
It's a beautiful beach. It's absolutely awesome in the summer. In the wintertime, it's terrible. You wouldn't want to go down there. But yeah, there's a lot of volleyball up here. People really love the beach. There's quite a bit of indoor kind of intramural club volleyball, and a bunch of people up here, so it's a pretty cool scene.
So you have an opportunity to work on your music a little bit. Being injured, is that sort of your salvation when you're not able to play volleyball?
Yes, I would definitely say that. If I didn't have music right now, I would probably be going a little bit crazy. But, yeah, it's just wonderful. It's a nice kind of creative process, more right brain than some of the stuff you tend to find in sports.
Is it something you plan to use after your volleyball career? Are you going to go music full-time? I know you spent a little bit of time doing production in between deciding whether you wanted to play or not. Are you looking to get back to that whenever your playing career is finished?
I would love to. Whether I pursue music professionally or as a hobby, it's just important for me to have that in my life. We'll see what the future holds. For right now, I'm just content kind of doing that as a hobby and doing it in my downtime away from volleyball.
Awesome. Well, what's that?
I said, we shall see.
Okay. Well, we want to play one of your tunes here right now. It's one that's going to be featured on our first video as the new website gets launched, as we keep saying, whenever Dan gets around to finishing that, we will have it. But we're going to feature your music here, and we sure appreciate you being a part of the volleyball network and here on the Net Live. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. See you, Jane Collymore.
Bye, Jane.
Bye.
All right. Here we go. We're going to have a little bit of Jane Collymore. We're going from Miley Cyrus to Jane. Enjoy.
In place, pull myself up by my bootstrap. It's counted on your face. It's served on something healthy and measurable, potentially pleasurable. Yeah. You got a thing for cats, baby. I am quite a feline. Out of the laundromat, chapter 4, God's breathing pages far behind me. There's I'm a drum, like the flow of a day. You are starting to become the someone I want around. Cheshire grin that swells. You've got your stuff together, baby. Your mother taught you well, stable and uniquely funny. Not a nerving, I'm so deserving of you. Poor cat still alone, but who's feeling right? Guard down as my arms extend for that which I'm ready. I'm a jack-o'-roll man. Go back in and get my feet wet, and you're digging on me. It's in the way that you stare and you breathe. And the pattern of your legs, from the navel to my neck, and summer and moon shines above.
Did you know all of the Net Live shows are available for free? Click on the iTunes.
All right, we're back. That's what happens when we play stuff on iTunes right there. That was not Gene Collymore at the very end. That was Dan Madden actually speaking. But that's Jane Collymore. I think that's a great song. I really enjoy her talent.
Sean Rooney likes the song.
Excellent.
That's what's important.
That's
and by
important.
The way, that
you
might
get
be
a
the
vote from Sean Rooney.
It's a nice tune to it.
Yeah, if you want more, go to janecollymore.com, and you can check out that MP3 along with quite a few others. Yeah, I really like it. I'm really happy and stoked that she's on board. We're going to feature her music over some of our videos coming up soon.
And she can side out.
Great stuff. Yeah, anytime you want. Side out, rock out, whatever you want to do. Well, very good. You are listening to The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Still upcoming, we have Mike Dodd, new AVP commissioner, is going to join us here.
Yep.
Going to be calling in and chat with him. I'm interested to hear more about what the commissioner is going to do, what direction he's going to take the AVP. We're also going to have the Texas head coach.
What a year they had.
Yeah, Jarrett Elliott. He had by far the best player in college volleyball last year.
Destiny
Hooker was
on. Would you say she was better than Megan Hodge?
Way better.
Wow.
Based on the match I saw.
Yeah.
Hodge didn't have a great match, but the way that Hooker played that match, I didn't see a lot of other matches.
That'd be a good question.
Yeah, she was head and shoulders above Megan Hodge in that. But we'll have to see who's going to be the better pro. I think they're both going to be excellent players, going to have long careers, hopefully. And should be good stuff.
Yeah, and Destiny Hooker actually signed a contract of track and field, make a little money.
Really? I thought she signed a volleyball contract over in Korea was the rumor we were hearing.
Maybe she's doing a little bit of both. We'll have to ask Jerry.
We're going to have to talk to Jerry about that, yeah. Hey, we'll definitely
Why listen to me? I have no idea.
Inside information. Yeah, exactly.
Just when you need me, let me know.
All right, well, let's bring in our next guest. You know him from the beach scene. He was a multi-time AVP champion. I believe it's 75.
75, he's the godfather.
Five
Manhattan titles.
And the new commissioner of the AVP, Mike Dodd. And Mike, we'll start you off with this right away, right into it. Every time we mention the fact that you're on the show, the very first question is, what on earth does a commissioner do?
Well, I guess I'll be finding that out soon enough. I think first and foremost, I'm going to step in and help our chief executive officer, Jason Hotel, and relieve him of a lot of the player-related issues and player benefits and what all is entailed with who we send to different events that are outside of the AVP. Certainly we're working on seeding and points and prize money breakdown and just all the different areas that have to do with player relations, player benefits. I'm stepping in immediately and kind of overseeing a lot of that. And as the tour begins and progresses at each site, I will be there physically as one of the faces of our tour and certainly be there to help the players with any issues that they have or that they're facing, be in the sponsor areas and meet and greet all the sponsors and their guests and people that are supporting our tour. And, you know, obviously if there's a 6 a.m. Live TV remote spot at the site that the players might not want to get up to, well, guess who's going to be there? That's me.
You.
So you're the mayor of AVP Town.
He is.
That's your official
Thank God.
Mayor of
Well, I kind of was unofficially anyway, so now it's just kind of more official. But yes, those are my duties. And then, you know, as things progress, I'm sure that when we have sponsor meetings as far as selling the tour and trying to get new sponsors and new supporters and, you know, all of that, I'll probably be involved in those meetings as well. And certainly one of the most important aspects of our business model and the direction that we're moving in at the AVP is making a larger and stronger connection with the grassroots of beach volleyball and volleyball in general. And so that just means reaching out to literally the millions of people that are out there at club volleyball tournaments and that are playing in amateur tournaments on the beach and connecting with them and making them feel, you know, a part of what we're doing at the highest level, making them have a sense that maybe it's closer than they realize, and just letting them know that we don't just care about Todd Rogers and Phil Dalhauser and Misty May and Kerry Walsh, but We care about volleyball in general, and that, I think, is going to be the cornerstone to moving our association ahead.
Mike, first of all, it was good seeing you yesterday down at the Girls Volleyball Club tournament.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for that beatdown on Long Beach Mizuno as well. That was, I'm sure you weren't going to mention that, so I thought I'd beat you to the punch.
No, you had to make a decision to leave Sean Rosenthal and Jake Gibb, guys that become family for you. You've coached for the last 6-7 years. Was it an easy decision? Was it tough? And how did you tell the guys?
You know, oddly enough, it was a very easy decision because, as with family, sometimes you get to that point where maybe it's a good thing that they leave the nest and go forge their own way. And not that I was the mother hen to them at all, but I was their coach and in many respects a mentor and in even more respects a friend. And so we had had a great run and we had accomplished certainly not everything that we had hoped we had, but we had come a long way as volleyball players and even further as friends and people. And I think, it wasn't a shock. It wasn't something that happened overnight because I had had initial, minor discussions with Jason Hodel as back as August of last summer. And as soon as even the thought that this position might happen, I told Jake and Sean about it and that should it ever come to fruition that we would have to part ways. And so it was something that they knew was kind of out there. And to be honest with you, their reaction was 100% positive. They're happy for me and my family. They know that the fact that I've been coaching them over these years was not a boom financially for me, that it was, an investment in the future of the coaching profession in beach and in volleyball in general. And so they were happy in a number of different respects to see me get this position. And I think it was just time. It's time for them to get a different set of eyes looking at them, a different perspective from a different coach, or no coach, whatever they decide. I think they have decided to go with Jeff Alzina as their coach, and there is an element of familiarity with that because he coached Jake when he was playing with Stein Metzger. So, it was time, and I think we're all going to benefit in the long run.
Mike, you mentioned the fact you had talked to Jason Hodel previously about this position, and was it a discussion that you were elevated to that position, or were they looking for someone to fill that role, and you were one of several candidates?
I was one of I wouldn't say several candidates, but I would say I was probably the number two choice. I know that they had lengthy discussions with Karch Kirai, and to be honest with you, he is an unbelievably worthy candidate for this spot as well. And, I know Karch thought long and hard about it. I know he cares very much about the AVP and about volleyball. And he weighed all the issues. His family lives in San Clemente. That's a ways further from the AVP than the close proximity that I live. And he had opportunities with the national team coaching. And I'm sure he had other opportunities as well. And he had to pick what was the best fit for him. And fortunately for me, he chose to stick with the national team and do TV and build his volleyball world in that direction for now. And I was, fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to work here in this position.
Well, we've talked a lot about the state of the AVP going into this year. We've talked to Jason Hodel, had him on, talking about the sponsorship issues that are going forward and even continuing now and some of the scheduling problems. And you mentioned the prize money being part of kind of your player relationship duties. I did talk to a top AVP pro over the weekend, and he said that the prize money still is an unknown. Is that going to be cleared up sometime soon? How are you dealing with that issue if the players here are starting to train and really don't know what they're playing for?
Yes, to answer your question, that breakdown will be coming out in the near future. And when I say that, within the next 2 weeks for sure. Certainly, we are still in the full gear of trying to sell our sport and trying to sign a couple of the sponsors. I think the biggest news coming out of here in the past couple weeks is that we signed ESPN and ABC. And I think that that is going to really kind of get us over the hump with some of these sponsors. I know that, that Jason will be leaving the office later this afternoon for some critical meetings back east that he's having with some potential tour title sponsors and our California Cup sponsors. So I think that, you know, I understand the players need to know the prize money. There's issues that involve playing on the FIVB tour, the AVP tour, where the prize money falls into place with that. We have issues of, you know, certain events where we have to find a way and a solution to even get our players to the following week's FIVB event in time to play in the country quota part of that. And so there's a lot of different factors outside of just the prize money, but the prize money certainly is big, and it's an address that we have to clear up sooner than later.
Mike, so many, I don't know if I'd say problems, but strained relationships with the FIVB and USA when it comes to the AVP. How can you help fix that, or where do you stand on that, and can you be a bridge to a better relationship?
Well, I mean, I think I can be a bridge to a better relationship, but I think more importantly, it's the attitude coming out of our office, and that is changing. You know, I think those of us like myself that have seen every change that's happened in volleyball over the last 30 years realize that, again, we when it comes to the highest level of volleyball, there is no doubt that we succeed and we achieve and that what we're doing here works in that area. You know, what we are more in tune or what we're trying to begin to put into practice here in this office is that it's all about volleyball. Okay, it's not beach volleyball, it's not indoors, it's not the FIVB, it's not USAV. It's about volleyball, and if all of us start thinking more in terms of everyone that plays, all the fans that enjoy all disciplines of volleyball, and working together within the various organizations, everyone is going to benefit. So, you know, I forget what movie I was watching where someone compared it to, you know, a pot with crabs in it, that everybody's clawing at the other crab, not letting it get out of the pot. And I think that there have been so many turf wars and so many people clawing and scratching, just trying to protect their little niche of volleyball that, you know, volleyball is such a wonderful game that it will always continue to move forward. But it's been moving forward at a snail's pace because we're not integrating ourselves. You know, we should be having AVP events on the same weekends and in the same cities where our national team is playing Brazil, and they should be coming down and watching us, and we should be going out at night and watching them, and we should be driving our people to their events and vice versa. And so we should all be sitting down to make our schedules and see where we can work together. Obviously, you know, we're all in business and we're all looking for sponsors and looking for support, and there may be some necessary type of competitiveness in that area of it. But in the areas where we can work together, why don't we? Why don't we? That's the big question. And I think that's the prevailing attitude that if I can do anything, I will make it my mission to make sure that that attitude prevails here at the AVP.
Mike, you mentioned seeing the changes as a player, as a coach, as an announcer over the past 30 years, and now as the commissioner. Do you ever foresee the player earnings matching or exceeding what it did in the early 90s at sort of the peak of beach volleyball?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do, because I think, A, the sport as a media vehicle could get back to the level of drawing the type of sponsorship dollars and sponsorship support that would make that possible for the players. And, you know, will it be easy? I doubt it. Will it happen overnight? Certainly no. But, you know, like I said, we're starting to go in the right direction. And as soon as we embrace the core of volleyball and show marketers and sponsors that there is a core out there to reach and that we can be one of the vehicles that they can use to do that, slowly but surely, producing good events, having great athletes that represent our sport and our sponsors, working together, in conjunction with USA Volleyball and the CBVA and grassroots and everyone, I believe it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Okay, so to that end then, where do you think that the sport falls when you're trying to sell beach volleyball? Is it a lifestyle or is it a performance sport?
Well, hopefully both. You know, again, it's funny. We've won so many gold medals and we've performed so well indoors and out at the Olympics. Yet I firmly believe with this new relationship with ESPN and ABC that, you know, as soon as we start seeing highlights of Phil Dalhauser on SportsCenter, that's going to be another big step forward in not legitimizing the sport, but emphasizing the athleticism of the sport. Is the sport sexy? Is it a great vehicle for young adult marketing? Of course it is. So I don't think we ever want to ignore the fact that we're intelligent and sexy and great, great vehicles for marketers. But I think that in that same respect, the core focus needs to be on the athleticism of the participants and the greatness of the game.
Mike, on the MVP Tour, the Manhattan Open is like the Super Bowl here in the United States, and you won it five times. Reed Pretty is over in Siberia, and he had a great a question about when Sean and Jake won this year. They had lost in the third round and had to go from ninth all the way back, and you'd given them a speech, I believe, on Sunday morning. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know what? It was just something that we were playing, I believe, Sean Scott and John Hyden, and we were just coming out, you know, with what, you know, as a coach, I would have said was a less than inspired effort considering the situation that we were in. And that situation being that we had a chance to win the Manhattan Open. And so, at a certain timeout, I kind of referenced back to maybe a couple of you know, latter Manhattan Opens that I had played with Mike Whitmarsh that I really felt we had kind of let slip through our fingers, and maybe I had had maybe not as great an attitude as I should have, as far as, you know, every one of these chances are precious, and when it's over, you don't ever want to think that you let one of these slip through your fingers like I feel sometimes. And so I kind of expressed that to him in maybe a little stronger words. And because I just saw the way the brackets were unfolding, and I was listening on center court, and I knew Rogers and Dalhauser were in trouble, and I just had this feeling that, you know, guys, I really think, you know, you got to take stock of the opportunity here, because you don't want to look back. I mean, your legacy is not going to be the same if you don't have your name on that plaque. And something caught fire, and you know, the stars lined up, and we played as good at volleyball as we did all summer, and now those, you know, I mean, Jake already had his name up there, but Sean has his name up there, and as a local hero and growing up in the area, you know, I know how much that means to him, and, you know, I think I get way too much credit for the speech and whatnot. They did the work.
Well, Mike, we sure appreciate you joining us here on the Net Live on the volleyballnetwork.com, and just we'll let you get back to working on your signature, which you must be.
Yeah, I want to get a nice one on that ball, because, no, it's funny. It's interesting, you know, that the funny twists and turns in life. I appreciate coming on, and I'd be happy to do it as many times as you want to continue the lines of communication to let you know how we're doing and to hopefully move all of us ahead in this great game that we all love.
Hey, just play the guitar. Get everyone to hold hands. You know,
yeah.
If you beat Doug Beal yourself.
We got it. We got to get Lambo back.
Get Lambo
back on our shores. All right, guys. Take care. Thanks.
All right. New AVP commissioner, Mike Dodd.
Speaking from the heart.
Speaking from the heart. Very interesting to hear him say about regrets, about wishing
yeah,
he had
especially
focused
when he's
more
won
on
five of those.
You know, a couple of things when you were a player. And, that, you know, I know that growing up, you go, I would have done it differently, but that's just life. That's how things go. So we're heading into sand timeout, number one or two, if you count music. But we're on our way. We'll be right back. We still have Jared Elliott from Texas. We're going to talk to him about sand volleyball coming up.
Good show.
Listen to The Net Live, thevolleyballnetwork.com.
Proud of the show.
If I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, "Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever."
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, I mean, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench. Suck yourself in. Pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Missed the latest episode of The Net Live? Download it now by clicking on the iTunes logo on thevolleyballnetwork.com. It's free.
All right, welcome back in the Net Live. I like that driving right out of the break. We are music heavy today. So far on the show, we've heard from new AVP Commissioner Mike Dodd. I thought he had some great things to say about the direction that that tour and volleyball in general is taking. We also talked to Jane Collymore. She's the newest addition to TNL, and we listened to her single Rhythm and Flow. You can check that out.
I liked her.
Get more at janecollymore.com. Check her out on MySpace, too. Just some really fun stuff. She's got some great music. We're going to hear more of it as time goes by here on the news site. Going to be really, really good stuff. We're glad you've joined us.
Mm-hmm.
We still have yet to come. We have Jared Elliott from Texas. He's going to come in and talk more about sand volleyball, our ongoing debate about the good, the bad, and how it's going to go with sand volleyball being approved as an emerging sport for women. Going to be good stuff. Now, I want to get back to Dodd for a second because that whole regret issue, that's something that when you grow up, as you grow older, you always think back, I would have done it a little bit differently. But it's good to have somebody like Dodd, if you're a player now, to come to you and say, you know, this is how it's going to go. A person you respect, you'll listen to, this is how it's going to go. And I felt like when I first joined the national team, that was missing. That was a missing factor from some of the older players.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I've always loved about Mike. I think he can look back on his career and really teach some people, and that's why I think he'll be good in the commissioner spot because he believes in volleyball and he believes in the indoor game and the beach game coexisting. And a quick story, Barney, when they were at the Olympics, you all saw how Phil and Todd reacted to the pressure in that first match when they lost, right? Well, right before, those guys were the last match of the first round. Two whole days and nights had gone. They were the 10 o'clock match that second day, and I remember because I was announcing, I would go down on the sand to introduce the players, and Mike grabbed Rosie and Gibb right before they entered that tunnel, and he told them, there's a pressure at the Olympics that is out there and no one ever wants to talk about. He's like, it's not a secret. Let's embrace it. And I remember those guys running on the court. They had the best time at the Olympics, and they played their butts off. They played as well as anybody. Brazil played great in that quarterfinal.
Yeah.
But they, for six matches, you know, and it was a real interesting, and Jake and Rosie will talk about that, how Mike just kind of calmed him out in that moment and said, it's there. Let's embrace it. Let's get after it. You know, so I think he has those moments where he doesn't want to take credit, but he's a big part of that.
Yeah, he's a good guy, a good voice to have in the game. And I want to touch on that. I was thinking about this before, your experience in Beijing, because you weren't a part of an NBC crew as a broadcaster. You were part of the rev up. You did the stuff in the stadium that you normally do.
I had to go over to World Championships when they were in Stade that year, and I met with Angelo and some people, and I did just a couple minutes of stuff and sent them some tapes, and they knew who I was, and I ended up getting the job from them at BoCog. And so that's who I worked with, and I had the experience of a lifetime. You know, I think for me it was getting to the top of the mountain, you know, the pinnacle. I always wanted to do it, and to have the Americans play so well and just feel a little bit a part of that was amazing, and connecting with the people. I mean, there's 12,000 fans of that thing, and I had, like, I Love China shirts, and I would learn a little bit of their language, Jiayou, and, you know, it was like winning the ring, you know.
How many hours a day were you in the arena?
Literally from 8 a.m. till midnight.
For the entire
time. Yeah, but then as the tournament went on, you got a little less and less. Pool play was tough.
Yeah.
But it got a little less and less as the playoffs started. So after about day 14, I was there 21 days, I started to go out and see the city and do some things in the Great Wall.
So what was your best experience? Did you eat any fried scorpions?
We had, we had a fried scorpion on like a, it was like a, you know how they do the lettuce wraps?
Yep.
It was like that. The little guy was on there, and I was with Casey Jennings and a guy named Chris Schneider and Greg Noyes, who was a cameraman for NBC, and we did it, and it got kind of stuck on my lip. It was like a little teriyaki sauce, but it's on video, and it was just crunchy. You know, I just took it down.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, we had a couple of questions come up on our Facebook page. One in particular stuck with me, and it was a guy, he plays overseas, he came out of college, and he's trying to pick up some games in the summertime here on the beach. And he's lamenting that it's so organized now that you can't really go down to the beach, to a beach. Like, you used to be able to go to Marine Street back when Dodd was playing. You could go down there. There's a group of guys that showed up, and you kind of work your way into the group and start to get some decent games just by being at the beach, not having to have everyone's phone numbers and know what time they were meeting and where they were meeting. Is that possible anymore?
You know, he makes a great point. Somewhere in the past, I don't know how many years, things have changed where guys know their practice time. And it's like, we're there from 10 to 12, and you're playing against somebody else. So Barney and I are playing against Dan and Billy, and that's it. No one else is invited. And, you know, you go down to the Hermosa Pier, I know, in Huntington, and there's still Sereno and Santa Monica where you can get those kind of games. But not against the pros, where, like, back in the day, you could just walk up and play with Jim Mingus, or you're playing against Hov, as long as you worked your way up.
Right.
I don't know if those days are around anymore, Barney. It is tough. You got to get out here and grind. You got to go to the qualifiers, meet the guys, and you got to set up times.
Yeah, no, for me, I came out from the Midwest. I was kind of a cocky little jerk, and I thought I was pretty good at volleyball. Turns out I wasn't. But I started going to Marine Street all the time, and I started with the old guys, and I had to play with those guys for a long time. And then I started getting games with a little bit better guys. And then you had – this is the heyday of the AVP. This is 1992, 93. And you had a guy, Chris Young, who picked me up.
Chief.
And he let me play a game with him. And he asked me, he said, well, what are you doing for school? You know, you're going anywhere for school. I said, no. He said, well, let me put you in contact with Jim McLaughlin over at Rick McLaughlin over at LMU.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up back in college. I was just sort of floating. I'd taken a year off. But his interaction with me, that pro interaction, just that I played one game with him, I don't know if I was good. I was nervous as hell. But that interaction put me on a path back to Rick McLaughlin, who put me in junior college, which got me to Pepperdine, which got me the national team.
It's funny you say the heyday, because that's when I was getting out of college, 93, 94, and it seems like it was yesterday, but it's a long time ago now. But that's when Fanoy and you know, guys that I was buddies with, like Matt Unger and Albert Hanneman and Fanoy, we would all go to the beach all day long, Barney, and everybody would be there. It was still like that. But I think once the money died down and they went through some turmoil, I don't know when things changed.
Well, I got to know, Dan, is this you on the bottom here? This is saying, Dan says the Cali kids are burned out by the time they get out of college, or the good ones are overseas, and so the guys and girls from other states move to California to play beach. They find a pickup game on a weekend, or they get in some four-man, or four-man sometime, because they have a friend who hooked them up. Then they get the cell, what is this, Dan, the cell numbers of guys he or
he thinks it
with?
Changed.
Yeah.
Dan thinks it changed when the cell phones came back, so people just text each other and meet at the beach.
So you think it's just everyone's in their own little information sphere, and it's hard to break that anymore. Well, that's interesting. Jordan Hove out there, you need to get some cell phone numbers. Maybe Dan can help you out, get a couple games down with the kind of good crew.
It's a good point, Jordan. Jordan, you still got to just get after it. You got to go down to the piers, and you got to go down to Marine, and you just got to find games, man.
Yeah, bottom line. Hermosa Pier. You know, Hermosa Pier was a place that never had any good games back when I used to play. It was Marine Street, 16th Street. Those are the places that I knew the best. And then 16th Street, of course, still goes. It looks like 15 years ago. Same guys, same games.
Same crew.
Same stuff going on. I don't know if you can pick
up there. No. Can. They will kick you out. It's like surfing at PV.
You know what? Great.
Or little Tim. You're not doing it.
My brother's bachelor party, we had a bunch of volleyball players. Some fairly good ones. We set up on 16th Street on their main court early in the morning one morning.
They weren't happy.
No, but they came out and said, hey, you want the court back? Why don't you play us for it? So we ended up playing against them for 3 or 4 hours, just random groupings.
That was probably pretty fun, by the way.
Oh, it ended up being great. Ack was playing. My brother, I was still just playing libero, but my brother was going back and forth with Ack. My brother gets a little aggro about stuff, but it was pretty funny to watch him go back and forth with Ack. And bottom line, Ack, I mean, love him, hate him, whatever. The guy can still ball.
And Reed will attest to this, but I see Ack running up and down the beach too. But Ack can still ball, you guys. He can still do it.
Unbelievable that he's still getting it done. Yeah, he is absolutely amazing. Reed, you know, let's get back to Dodd for just a second. Do you have any thoughts on Mike and what he had to say?
I agree with him that the AVP ESPN thing is a huge, huge deal. You know, we talked about it, Kevin, on the show before, that it was almost like we were pigeonholed with NBC. It was kind of grouped in this tier that was just once every 4 years, and they had no interest to show the sport, whether it be indoor or outdoor, on a yearly basis. And I think that being on ABC, ESPN, they have a much more – they have daily outlets, and they're only a sports network, being ESPN and then also on network with ABC. I just think that SportsCenter would be awesome, but just being on a network that's dedicated to sports, I almost wonder if we ought to give away – the AVP ought to give away a certain stake or share – because you see the sports that one of these networks owns, like a poker or a bowling, and you wonder, how is this even on right now? And the next thing you know, it's like the most popular thing on TV. If we could get them on board as business partners, that would be next level, I think.
That's an interesting thought, and I think we've had a lot of things come up since the last time we had Jason Hodel on the program. There are some business answers that I'd just like to have. I'd like to know about how the prize money's going. I'd like to know about how the deal with ESPN is structured, if there was ever a thought of doing that type of deal, giving ESPN some equity somehow in the company to make it one of their properties, how those discussions have proceeded.
Next thing you know, you have ESPN commercials. I mean, when they back something, they back it.
Like the Bowlers. The Bowlers are a perfect example. All of a sudden, Pete Weber's back up with his sunglasses and stuff like he's the coolest thing ever. These guys have faith.
And poker. I mean, poker's like the coolest thing ever. And people would argue, well, poker's cool anyway. Well, volleyball's cool anyway. You know, it's just not out there.
Yeah.
When I see paintballing on, I go, come on.
How about when Magic the Gathering made it on a couple of years ago? It's like, really? We're going to watch guys play Magic on TV?
Did I also hear him call Jason Hodel? Was it Hodel?
It was Hodel. I heard a Hodel there, too.
Yeah. Then it went back to Hodel.
From now on, he is now Jason Hodel of the AVP.
Back
like
to the Hodel. All right. Hey, I sat on the bench this past week when the number one Pepperdine defeated formerly
number one,
CSUN.
They're number
crushed
two.
Crushed you down. That's actually Barnett Geeter, Barnett 1, Geeter 0.
It's true. Well, if you count our little smack off last week, it's 1-1, right? Or whatever.
That's right. Okay, so
what's
now
our...
we're tied.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Reed. Like, Barney was on the bench, right? He's now a new assistant coach at Pepperdine. But by the end of the year, I was telling him he's going to be like 3-0. He'll show up 3 times.
Hey, there's a lot of motocross needs to be ridden, you know? There's a lot of tracks out there that need my attention.
What did you think of the Ridge? Be honest with me, Barney. I mean, Peps won 8 in a row, so we know they're hot.
Watching the Ridge, I wonder how they win sometimes, just because they don't use their opposite.
Do they have a 7-foot middle?
They have a 7-foot-2 Polish middle, who is ridiculously large. He moves pretty well. He's not super skinny. He's decent, but they don't set their opposite at all. They set more middle than I've ever seen a
Stork
team set.
Doesn't set his opposite? That's Matt Stork setting.
No, he doesn't use his opposite, but I don't think Stork over his head, not great. Okay. Not great going over his head. But they use the middle like 60% of their offense in some rotations.
Like we used to do with Coley Kymen.
It's amazing. The fact that not only they want to go there, but that it's effective and that they are able to go there. They'll set it from 10 feet off, which I think is unusual in the college game. You see it a little bit more internationally. But the ability to set the quick from 10 feet off the net is something special.
Pep had lost probably 4 in a row, I think. And then now on an 8-game win streak, they went from 10th in the country to number 1 in the country. That's the parity in the men's game right now. And USC sits in the 8th spot, Irvine at the 10th spot. Only 8 make the playoffs. So you could possibly have the two national champion people that played in the national championship last year not make the playoffs.
The big deal for Pepperdine was they got healthy. Corey Rick, yeah, J.D. Schleppenbach were both injured early in the season. Neither one was playing. And those two now, every time you see a match, they're leading the offense or 2-3. They're within the top three. They also have a good opposite in Maurice Torres, who's come along. And anytime you have a freshman opposite, yep, true freshman opposite, a little bit up and down, it's going to be a little shaky, yep, here and there just due to the age of the player. But they are a special team right now. They're doing really well. And I'm just looking to ride on the coattails again. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, so riding on the coattails, you're on the bench. What are you doing? Are you,
yeah, what
are
was you doing?
Gatorade? Are we?
I was working.
Are you getting Gatorade?
I was working on the Net Live outline. That's what I was doing.
I mean, did Marv have you charting?
Thank goodness, no. Don't hand me a chart. I don't want to be pinned to a board. Don't pin me, yeah, to a board. I don't want to be writing lines and stuff. Let me watch the game. Let me talk to guys about specific situations.
So you did that, as guys would come off.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a front row seat for you, is basically what you're saying. You wanted courtside seats.
Right, right.
Basically, you were sitting at the 30.
For free. For free. I don't want to pay for tickets. Yeah. No, for me, it's a great opportunity to work with the guys, especially my own position, left side guys, outside, right side guys. Work a lot with them on, hey, are you making the right move? Let's get a three-man up over here. There's so much stuff that these guys aren't even thinking about, yeah, that for me, it's like, this is just normal.
Is Marv verbal during games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marv says stuff that never gets to the players. It's so funny. And I heard about this before.
Yeah, I was wondering.
That Marv says things to the coaches that's completely different than what he's going to say to the players. You know, negative stuff will come out to the coaches.
Imagine what he said about you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when I'm screaming, yelling, pounding, yeah, the floor, punting the ball to the roof, I can't, yeah, imagine what Dunphy was just going, have I really signed this kid here? What? Can I get rid of him? Can we trade him to Irvine or something?
That's some great discipline, though, because I remember the times that he's been with the national team, he seems to be a man of few words. You know, like you'd ask him a question, he'd be like, you know, yeah, you just, you know, you just got to do it.
Yeah, the class.
Work hard.
Somebody will say something or some random situation will come up, and Marv will just go, okay, and he'll walk away because he's on to the next thing. He can't be bothered by whatever the distraction was that somebody else brought up. He is focused. He has something else to be on. Definitely. Definitely.
Did he have to introduce you the first day you were there?
Today?
Were there players?
I got
the players know who you were?
That's a great question.
Actually, no. No, I got the impression that it had been mentioned that I was going to be showing up. I've been going to alumni games kind of judiciously over the last few years, and so guys have seen me here and there, and I didn't have a formal introduction. Maybe I will when I attend my first practice. I started with a match instead of a practice. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe the practices all of a sudden be good. We'll be winning practices too. Can I count that for my record against you?
Absolutely.
Well, all right, we're on to guest number two. We are proud to be
excited about this.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
Some of my good friends.
Texas Longhorns head coach Jared Elliott. You saw him in the national championship game this past season. He had an incredible team, great group of women, and really just a couple of swings from the championship. And we are proud now to bring him into the program. Jared, let's get you started with this. We brought you on to talk about Sand. What was your objection to Sand becoming a full scholarship sport or an emerging sport for women?
Well, I don't think I have any objections to the sport. I think the organization of which we tried to bring it forward was the parameters what made it really difficult for us to view Sand as an emerging sport as a positive for both the coaching profession and for the players as well. And there wasn't a lot of dialogue amongst the Division I head coaches. It was kind of something that was pushed forward very dramatically and very fast that didn't allow us to consider all the pitfalls and positives that could come out of putting a sport that is so great like beach volleyball on the forefront. And I think a lot of people were really surprised in regards to my position on it because I grew up on the beach, and obviously I'm good buddies with Chris McGee and went to high school with Kent Stevens and have a lot of people and peers that play on the sand volleyball circuit. And I know the benefits probably more than most Division I coaches in regards to the benefits of being able to create a program of sand volleyball. And it's not that I'm against it. I'm just against how we're going about it at this point in regards to the quality of life for coaches and how we're going to be able to create these demands within the parameters that they're pushing forward.
Okay, so tell us about some of that. So you're supportive of the sport, but you're objecting to the structure that it's being given currently. Tell us about some of those issues. What are the kind of your top two that things that you want to see changed?
Well, I think, first of all, indoor volleyball is a headcount sport, which means you have to offer a full scholarship to each athlete you have, and we have 12 of those. On the sand, they would go to an equivalency, which would be 7 scholarships. And you know, the indoor game is growing at such a great rate, and the popularity amongst TV and fans continues to grow. And, you know, it's very difficult because the number of quality athletes that you have in women's volleyball is great, but it's not enough to add an additional amount of scholarships that they're asking. Because when you're in equivalency, we're allowed to go to a total of 14 more athletes. So I could really stockpile like the yesteryear of football years when USC used to have, 160 athletes on scholarship back in the day when they became dominant. The second one is the quality of life. When they're being able to do this, we would be able to hire an additional coach to run SAN, but as the head coach, you're going to want to oversee that program and be a part of it. Because what people didn't see is that if I hired, let's say, Chris McGee to be my beach coach, yeah, that at some point there's going to be a decision we have to make. Is she going to play beach or is she going to play indoor? Because she has to go on one of those two scholarships. And if she plays on the beach, she can't come on the indoor. So the reason that I would have to be the head coach on that is because I don't want to get in recruiting battles with my own coach within my program. The second thing is that their out-of-season non-championship segment would be during our season in the fall, and I would have to be coaching in the morning for 3 hours in the morning on the sand and then come on the indoor during the day and prepare my team for that circuit. So there's a lot of areas in regards to the time management of how we're going to be able to do that, in addition to an additional 20 days on the road recruiting. And as most coaches know, we're on the road 24/7 as it is.
Jarrett, before I get to your remarkable run this year in the NCAAs, talk to me about how it can work. Where can you see it actually benefiting indoor and sand together in college?
Well, I think the mid-majors are not thinking this through very well, because if I'm a mid-major and I know that Texas can get a kid on books over me getting him on a full ride, I'm concerned about that. And what that's going to do to the deterioration of their program is going to be difficult. But so what my thing is to start it off small, give us a 13th scholarship instead of 12, make that 13th scholarship a equivalency so we can split it up into potentially three scholarships that we desire, and use your indoor team in the spring to play on the sand. So therefore, you're not overworking all the staff members that are entailed in terms of the recruiting and the day-to-day regimen. It's a different sport in the spring. Our players are excited to get off in the sand and play. And for us, Chris, we do a ton of training on the beach in the spring season because there's such a great crossover. Our players love to be in the sun and get a tan and learn a different game. So I think you got to be able to keep the formation of your indoor team, maybe expand that to 13, potentially 14 scholarships, and then use your indoor team to compete for the sand volleyball.
Well, let's get off of sand for just a second and talk a little bit about the championship match in your past season. Give us a quick who's better, Hodge or Hooker?
Yeah, because Barney said Hooker was a better player, by the way, today. So I just wanted to get we wanted to hear your take on that.
I'm voting Hooker, but we want to hear from the source.
Well, if I had a number one draft pick, I'm taking Hooker, because of where she's able to evolve to as a player. She's a lot more she's a point scorer for you. Hodge is good. Hodge has a little bit higher of an IQ, volleyball IQ, because she's been playing a little bit longer. But when you look, when it comes down to rally scoring, you're looking at point scoring. And what she can do, not only from the front court or the back court, she is a lethal threat, as you guys were able to see, but also from the service line. So there's not many players that have ever come through the college game that have been as potent as she has. The way that she played with her senior year with so little volleyball experience.
How much were you involved in her decision to turn pro?
I was pretty involved. We try to give them good, meeting with the family and gives them the positive and negatives involved to what is going on and what the sequence is going to be once the season is over. And we met with our compliance and making sure that agents weren't contacting her, how to go about that when they did in that process. But when she got the offer that she did, it's pretty hard to turn down and where she wanted to be as an athlete, because she had to start making a decision. Does she want to be an Olympic high jumper, or does she want to go play professionally in the indoor circuit and be an Olympian on the indoor and make a lot more money than she could on the track and field side?
Jarrett, we're running out of time, but we just want to thank you for coming on. Such a remarkable run you guys had. I know you came up a couple points short, but you guys were involved in the greatest women's match of all time. It's already been on ESPN Classic. So congratulations for what you've been able to do there at the University of Texas.
Thank you, guys, and appreciate being on the show.
All right, Jarrett Elliott, head coach, Texas Longhorns, joining us here on the Net Live.
Well spoken.
Yeah, well spoken, definitely. A man who, it seems, thought a lot about his program.
No question.
Obviously. I mean, he had that kind of success. There's no way you don't think about your program. But
he's been such a great recruiter, and he really gets the kids to buy in. And not only do they buy in, they have a great time when they're there. He goes the extra mile.
That's a great school, great place.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Austin, Texas is awesome. We have JOs this year for the boys. They're going to be in Austin.
You know, just a quick little story. I know we got to go, but he would have me Skype in before every match, and we would do like a little speech for the team and stuff. But that's just the kind of stuff that, he does. You know, just to make you feel a part of it, and it's a little extra for the girls, and they ended up loving it, so we did it for 2 years.
Well, that's what I mean by thinking about your program, where you're not bound by it's just the volleyball. It's not just one thing. There's a lot of other considerations. When you hear him talk about sand, you hear that in it. He's talking about a lot of different issues that all interrelate to the whole sand indoor debate that people don't necessarily think about. They're not necessarily bringing all those thoughts together at the same time. You're listening to the NetLive, thevolleyballnetwork.com. We are headed into technical timeout number two. We'll be right back. We still have more discussion to go in the co-opetitive slam down. See you soon.
Serious face. They were like, try to smile. I was like, I don't smile at the opponents on the other side of the net. Like, oh, haha. No, you want to kill them. Anyways, but I think it's good you guys have a radio show.
Bill and Todd versus Karch and Kent. Who takes it?
I think Bill and Todd are the best in the world and would beat Kent and me, but in the old rules, I think Kent and I had that format pretty well down, and I think we'd have a slight edge.
Thought we were muted. Good thing we didn't say anything bad about the fans during that, huh?
Oh my gosh.
Have we had our true feelings out on the air? That could have been trouble.
Just about anything goes.
We're going to have a karaoke session later. Danny said he wants to do Tiny Bubbles.
Was that even a good championship? It wasn't good. We've already forgotten about it.
The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com, Mondays at 5.
We are back. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We've had Mike Dodd. We've had Jared Ellis. We've had Jane Collymore. It's all been great, but it's all been leading up to this moment, the trivia co-opetitive slam down.
Yeah, now you have me.
Uh-oh, we have Dan Madden. Peter's going to have to yell his name nice and loud. Reed, is it time for you to hang up, or are you actually going to play?
We'll see. The connection is
done.
Cutting right. In and out.
I'm blaming your tools already.
Hey, Reed, you know what's awesome is when you try to talk and we just go right to break.
All right, here we go.
I just want to follow up a little bit on, what do you guys think? Let's kick it around the room. What do you guys think of Jared Elliott's proposal to put it in the hands of the indoor team and just have that infrastructure already in place, add some more scholarships, and have them compete? Yep. In sand volleyball.
Barney, no, absolutely not.
The NCAA will not allow it. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. The NCAA will not allow you to take the same staff, same team, same players, and play two seasons in one college year. There's no way that's going
to
happen.
And I like the idea that he had of starting small, though. I think it needs to start in a place where it can grow a little bit.
All right. Let's move it. Dan, co-opetitive slam down. Move it.
All right, here we go. Reed, you ready?
Reed, you know how this works? You can shout your name at any time. Don't tell us about
it. Wait, let me get Wikipedia up real fast. Hold on.
There you go. Have another Sprite and soda, whatever.
Get Karch Karai's Wikipedia up.
Here we go.
Okay.
Question number one.
Olympics. The overtime goal scored in the USA-Canada gold medal hockey game.
Reed, Sidney Crosby.
Woo-hoo!
No.
Geeter, go ahead.
Sidney Crosby from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wrong, Bull. I will continue.
Oh, see, I get to go.
The overtime goal scored in the gold medal hockey game yesterday was scored on who?
Oh, my goodness.
Miller. Reed, Miller.
You're out. Miller.
Miller.
Miller. Oh, Miller.
Ryan Miller. Yeah, yeah.
I
from Michigan State. And the Buffalo Sabres.
I was wondering who Biller was. I couldn't
understand.
Dude,
that game was. Reed's so pissed because he keeps answering, but he's out of turn.
Reed, you got to say your name and then wait to be recognized by the chair, Dan Madden, in his
shirt. Been Skype, Barney. There's a delay.
Say
that's why I don't
or name.
Ask questions to the guests.
Here we go.
Number two. That hockey game was sick. I don't even watch hockey. That was amazing. All right, number two. Pepperdine is the number one team in Division I men's volleyball. Who is the number one team in Division III men's volleyball?
Keeter.
Hope International.
That's good. They have a lot of Brazilians.
Hope International?
Kevin.
That's like some kind of like
Kevin.
Organization.
No,
Kevin.
Good call. CalBAP.
Nope. Reed, you got anything?
Reed, can you? We should play Celebrity Jeopardy for
Reed.
I'll give you
a hint.
Wait, Celebrity Jeopardy for Reed. Can he actually even name a Division III school? Then he gets it right.
What is... goodness gracious.
Peter's dying.
Loyola Marymount.
No. Get it.
Grand Canyon?
Give me a hint. Give
East
me the hint.
Kevin. East Coast. Pennsylvania.
Kevin. Park.
No.
All right, I don't know.
Graceland.
Juniata.
No, we don't. All right, moving on.
All right, well.
What is it, Geeter?
We had a Juniata fan in the chat board.
All right, here we go.
Number three. What rapper owns a stake in Vitamin Water?
Kevin. 50 Cent.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes!
It's like $400 million.
It's his biggest earnings.
Oh,
thing.
My goodness.
Good job, Reed.
Okay, what is the name? Number four. What is the name of the current bachelor on the show, The Bachelor?
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
He's an airline pilot. That's all I know.
All right, good. I'm glad
no
one knows
his name.
That.
Maybe I can get credit for that. Is no one even comes close.
Geeter. Goof.
You all get it right.
It's Jake and
oh my
Jeremy,
goodness.
Jeremy?
I saw like 5 minutes of that show. I think this season, isn't it the season where he was like crying at the rose ceremony
and he wanted to
ditch two chicks.
You got to watch The Soup. That's the only way I see it is on The Soup.
I think it's Jake. It's
Joel McHale.
I didn't actually
fact
check myself, but I was,
all right, go.
My girlfriend.
Do I get that one?
You all get it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Number five. What was the name given to Tiger Woods' Gatorade flavor? That was a terrible, terrible phrasing. Kind of on purpose.
Geeter. Focus?
Ooh. No.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Bang down.
Oh, my gosh. Over the line.
Geeter. I mean, Reed, if you...
El Tigre?
Don't think too much about this.
I know. Kevin.
Tigers Gatorade.
Kevin.
Almost.
Tiger.
Kevin.
Did you say your name again?
Trim Lord.
All right, the answer is
no, Tiger. Lord. Tiger.
Yes, Tiger.
I got it?
I said that.
Ding, Kevin.
Roll it back. Roll it back.
Tiger.
I just said that.
Half credit.
There was a delay. Sorry, we didn't hear you. Kevin. All right.
Called Strand
go.
Cattle.
Go.
Number six. McElhaney Company makes what flavorful pepper sauce?
McElhaney Company. Kevin. Tabasco.
Yes.
No! Geeter. Geeter, you're going down, baby. Last week was rookie's luck. There we go.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
You had me. You have my microphone. So I raised my
hand.
True.
You can scream, Geeter, we'll hear you.
Sorry. All right, if you raise your hand. All right.
Don't scare the cat.
How many medals, number seven, how many medals did Lindsey Vonn win in this Olympics?
Kevin. You're raising your hand again. Three.
Wrong.
One.
Wrong.
Kevin.
Three.
Two.
Yes.
Yeah.
She got a gold and a bronze.
All right.
And
she won one late that I forgot about.
And she fell in the rest or something. Julie Mancuso, way cooler than Lindsey Vonn, by
the way. Okay, yeah. By the way, Lindsey Vonn said that she's got a better friend in Germany, and if the two of them were racing, she would rather have a German win than a U.S.
Oh,
person.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Mancuso, come on.
Hold down. Mancuso got screwed on the GS.
Yeah, she
was.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
All those things are the same, right? All right. Anyway, number eight. Hurt Locker director Catherine Bigelow also directed what 1991 surfer bank robbery movie?
Kevin. Point Break.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
People got to go down, bro.
I'm not happy right now. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm pissed.
We'll get him when he comes back. He's not coming back.
All right, two more. Number nine. The United States finished first in total medals at the 2010 Winter Olympics.
Yes.
With 37. Which country finished with...
Germany finished second.
Wrong. What?
Kevin. Kevin. I should have said my name.
What's your question anyway? I guess.
No, because you have to stop. That's,
yeah.
Oh man. I'm gonna go with Kuala Lumpur. It's not even a country.
No. Yeah, you're right. Reed, you got anything? Oh, you want me to finish, Reed?
The city.
Yeah. Please finish the question.
Which country finished with the most gold medals?
Yeah. Kevin. After Reed.
Ooh, interesting. Let me think about it.
This one was surprising for me when I looked it up this one.
I'm thinking.
Radio with you thinking, but
Canada?
Ding, 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 ding.
That was what I was going to say. Very 14. Nice, Reed. Way to go.
Yeah, it's like,
I wasn't really thinking. I was trying to wait for my internet to catch up with
you. He was still looking at the question.
All right, number 10. Who was Mike Dodd's first partner on the AVP?
Geeter. Oh, that's got to be Geeter.
Karch Cry.
AVP, incorrect.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Frohoff, because that's everyone's first partner.
That's Larry Wood's first partner. Reed, you got anything?
Karch, too.
I was going to say Tim Hovland.
I was getting his AAA.
All right.
In 84, Reed, you are right. It was Tim Hovland.
It was Hovland.
In 1984.
Oh. Dude, I dominated this cooperative, dude.
Kind of crazy, huh?
I just dominated you guys.
It was the obvious choice, but I didn't think that was his first partner. It was his first win. But was it his first partner ever?
According to the BVBinfo.com, yeah. In 1984, he played his first AVP tournament with Hoff.
Reed, nice job. If it wasn't for a delay, you might have won this, but you didn't. Barney did.
Yes, sir.
And if we had another mic, Geeter might have called his name.
Or if we had a video where Geeter could raise his hand, yeah, he would have done. Just
hey, let's get to two questions because I got a couple doozies. I think
we have 3 minutes. We'll go with your two questions. Reed, hit it.
What happens first? Dan becomes a quote main draw player, or Kevin goes for a backflip on his motorbike.
I'm gonna say Kevin goes for a backflip on his motorbike. That because I'm never gonna do it.
What?
I was waiting.
Whoa! Love are off.
That was. Do you want the mic?
That was hurtful.
Are you kidding me? Because it's never going to happen, you choose that? That's mean. I thought we were friends.
It is hurtful, but I have your shirt on. Look.
You know, I. Yeah,
I
you
love
do.
You.
You have the Vitruvian Danny
I love you.
Hey, by the way, I linked to kindofgood.com because you're wearing that shirt. In the update.
It's possible to be kind of good and still be a main draw player. You kind of have to be good.
Nice. All right. Dan, next. Reed, next question.
I don't want to rush this one. This one's going to get us in some fights. Let's go for one of yours.
One of mine. What is the best volleyball school, men or women? Or men and women. Men and women. Best men's, best women's.
I'm going to have to say Penn State right now. I mean, they've...
Oh, you're picking them for both. All right.
Yeah. I think they've held dominance in both. And okay. Yeah, that's
Dan?
My choice.
Dan, do you know an indoor volleyball school? Can you name one?
Penn State's not a bad choice, actually, because their women's team dominates way more than any other team, and their men's team is actually all right.
You're just saying that because you just heard Reed say it. Otherwise, you
but I disagree.
Okay, tell
but him. But Kevin, do you want him to finish the website, or you want to keep railing on him, and he's never going to get that thing done?
I want everything. That's how I live. Everything is possible. Come on.
I'm going to say on the men's side,
okay.
UC Irvine.
Whoa.
Has the best
Whoa.
Program going right now, the okay. best coaching staff, and I think it's the hot pot spot to play. They've won two national championships in the past 3 years. And,
okay,
and I'm going to go with my guy at Texas. Once again, even though Penn State has won the national championships, I think Texas is right up there with them, and in the next few years will win a national championship.
I was stuck between Texas and Penn State on the women's side, and I'm going to have to pick Texas just because I think Texas is the up-and-comer of the two.
I think they're on their way up. I think Penn State's been great, but I don't see how they could possibly sustain that level, and I think Texas has gotten to their level playing-wise. And on the men's side, while I like UC Irvine, I'm going with the old standby. I got to be Pepperdine. The thing I like about Pep, not obviously I'm a homer, but Pepperdine, they have produced a lot of great players that they have manufactured. There's a lot of teaching going on there, whereas if you look at some of the other programs out there that have had great success, they're not producing national team talent because they're not teaching. They're utilizing players, not making players.
I was going to go with Pepperdine, even though it would pain me to do it, because of all my fights with LeGrand and Blanton, Ian Clark over the years, and Sorensen. But I think longevity-wise and just the place to be, Pepperdine is right there. But I just think recently what Sproul's been able to do over there has been remarkable.
Reed, 20 seconds. Give us your quick picks.
Oh, I said Penn State, but I misunderstood the question because I thought that you had to pick one school that has both. But I think I would probably go UCI as well in terms of for the men's, but Penn State for the girls.
It's been a great show, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad you tuned in. It's been a lot of fun. Geeter, you coming back next week?
Yeah, so I can get a question in, because I had a couple of them. But,
right on. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you being here. We look forward to next week, 10 a.m. Pacific, from the live home court in Redondo Beach. We'll see you soon. Be good.
My serious face. They were like, "Try to smile." I was like, "I don't smile."